Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents 1913-1914, page 1604, slide. Visible translated text is as follows. Breakfast table Sunday morning and my wife was listening from the kitchen. Then Mrs. Frank was only paying my wife $3.50 per week up to the Saturday of the murder, and they told her if she would not talk, they would pay her $7 per week, and she would not have to work as late as she had been doing. And far her to say nothing at court but what they told her to say. They gave her $5 extra the day she went to court. They examined my wife money all along, as she is buying lots of messes, in which they all the time. I can tell Mr. Frank has done something, and they act strange. Mrs. Frank tells Magnolia every day not to look out what to say if they come to her to go to court. I examined Mrs. Frank, and she told me with her own mouth that she had a good time Saturday evening and kissed a man goodbye, and she said he was so crazy he asked for a kiss and she would not kiss her. Magnolia also heard Mrs. Frank say she would never live with him again, for she knew he killed that girl, and that they had the right man, and ought to break his neck. Signed, Albert McKnight, sworn to, and subscribed before me this 12th day of August, 1915. R.L. Craven, Notary Public, DeKalb County, Georgia. E.H. Pigeon, sworn for the state. I have been working for the Beek and Gregg Hardware Company for 12 years. Albert McKnight was discharged by me for some minor offense from the employ of the Beek and Gregg Hardware Company sometime immediately previous to April 26, 1913. I cannot recall the exact date and was not working for me on April 26, 1913, but came back to work for the Beek and Gregg Hardware Company a few days after the murder, but exactly how many I cannot recall. Albert McKnight freely and voluntarily stated to me that he saw Leo M. Frank on April 26, 1913, at the Selig home between 1 and 2 o'clock, that Frank did not eat any dinner, and that he went over to the shed and stood there for a few minutes and left the house in 10 minutes after arrival, and made the other statements which he swore to at the trial of the case of the state versus Leo M. Frank. He has only made these statements to me one time, but many times. I have read over the affidavit this day, signed by Messrs. R.L. Craven and August Morrison, and the same are true where they contain statements which purport to refer to those certain facts coming within my knowledge. I was also present at the police station, and he told what occurred there, as testified to by Mr. Craven. After Albert McKnight made the statement to Mr. Craven, and before the same was sworn to, and before anything was made public, I impressed upon Albert McKnight the importance of telling the truth, and I told him that under no circumstances could he expect to get any reward or any money for what he said he was willing to swear. On the other hand, I told him that it would probably cause his wife, Manola McKnight, to lose her job and could only result in worry and trouble to him, even if what he said was true, my purpose being to see that there was no improper influences.